Hello folks, this is Nick iSteady on YouTube, and he's just brought the Transalp along today, along with my Transalp that I've borrowed from Honda. And you may remember him from the Hornet video that we made 4 months ago.
Yeah.
Somewhere around now, isn't it?
Yeah.
4 months ago. So we're going to have a chat with him and find out what he thinks about his Transalp. How come you changed from the Hornet to the Transalp? I think we'll start there, really. Because how long did you have the Hornet for? Not long, was it?
I want to say 4 months. Comfort, I think, is the first issue. Hornet was nice, but it was quite a small bike. I just wanted something that would fulfil all the roles.
Yeah.
Rather than just sort of razzing around town on and you know, out and about. So,
because when we last spoke, Transalp had just come out, hadn't it, in the showrooms. It literally just landed. And I remember you saying that you were looking forward to trying the Transalp, yeah. As I was as well. I think we both knew that, I mean, certainly for me, that this bike suits me more than the Hornet for the reasons you just said.
Yeah.
It does more. There's more you can do with it. You can tour on it easier. It's more comfortable as well.
You do twos up with it a bit.
Yes.
A bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a much, much better all-round package. But the bonus was it's got the engine from the Hornet, which was its main selling point, I think.
Yes.
Very good.
And fueling-wise, it's softer than the Hornet.
It
do you
is.
Find that?
Yeah. I would say so. They've ironed out some of the snatch at low speed, I think. But yeah, it's not quite as punchy, but it's a heavier bike as well.
Yeah.
But definitely softer fueling, I would say. They certainly remapped it, nonetheless.
Yes, yeah. Because I would have loved to have been there when you tried the Hornet, because I know you went out for a test... the Hornet, the Transalp. Because you went out for a test ride.
I did, which was very unusual for me.
Yeah. And how long did it take you to decide, you know, that you thought, because it's got to change the Hornet?
Probably by the time I got to the end of the road from the dealership.
Yeah.
As I said, I went there... You know, in the back of my mind, I was probably going to change it because I'd seen it there. I'd seen it and I thought, that looks nice. That looks the business. I always find a bike looks much better in the flesh than it does on a screen or in a magazine.
Yeah.
I saw it there and I thought, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
So I went away and prepared a spec, took that with me for the Pete salesman to peruse while I was out test riding it.
Yeah.
Came back and said there and then go for it.
Yeah, yeah. And I felt the same, to be honest. I mean, I went out with a chap the other day, does a lot of my shots and cameraman, he helps me a lot with filming and things. And he literally got to the end of my drive and I could hear him in the intercom saying, yeah, I like this. Amazing how well it handles and it instantly catches you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And even though it looks a big bike and a kind of looks heavy and cumbersome a little bit, doesn't it? 'Cause it's quite a big bike, but not at all, is it?
No, very, very well balanced. It's great at slow speed, courtesy of the bigger 21-inch front wheel.
Yeah.
But coming from the Hornet and sitting straight on that, you felt a lot of road presence all of a sudden.
Yes.
And coming back and getting back on my Hornet to ride home, it felt like Homer Simpson's clown bike.
Yeah.
It felt that small, you know, my knees were up in under here and I had to laugh to myself getting back on it.
Yeah.
It felt so much smaller.
Because this is your first adventure style bike, isn't it?
It is.
Right? Yeah. Because in the past you had the Bandit that you had?
Bandit.
W800.
Yes. Classic 500. GSXR 600.
Yeah, so lower bikes, and this is your first adventure bike, yeah.
Yeah, completely different riding style. But
two up riding, done much of that?
Not yet, but that was one of the purposes of buying it. We're getting there, because she didn't have any gear.
No.
So we're getting there. Jacket's the next step.
Yeah. I guess you've taken pillions before, have you?
Yeah, not on here, but I have done.
Yeah, and again, it astounds me. You know, my lad is 16 now, and I've done quite a bit with him. And you don't even have to brace when they get on. You know, sometimes a bike will just try and pull over a bit, when it just hops on. It just feels like nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and when you're going along, it's totally stable again. It's not adjustable with suspension as such, and not electronic, should I say.
No.
But again, you know, they've got everything nailed, you know, stability wise.
I think so.
Big 21 inch front wheel. Again, you always know what that's doing. Have you ridden the Africa Twin?
No.
No.
That will be the next one to ride, yeah. Just out of curiosity.
Yeah. It's definitely much bigger, more cumbersome, and you feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I found with the Africa Twin is that you don't really know what that front end is doing. It does feel a bit vague and numbed out quite a lot.
Yeah.
Whereas with this one, you know.
You can chuck this about a bit, can't you?
You can. Yeah, definitely. Off-road?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Maybe at some point.
Again, amazing, mate.
Is it?
It's absolutely amazing. Yeah. I found it, you know, I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Really light again, and, you know, you kind of look at that and think, ugh, not too sure about that, and it would just go, easy. You know, what's next? You know, it's really good. So, yeah, I've done a bit of off-road. Not heavy off-roading, but, you know, some steep stuff and rocky stuff, and lock off the ABS as well.
Yes.
It's a major selling point there.
Yeah.
For the off-road stuff. Got the crash bars. Are you getting crash bars then? You got these here?
I've got the upper set.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the lower set to land at the dealership. When that will be, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't thrown it on the floor yet, so hopefully I'll get the bars first.
Yes.
Then throw it on the floor.
Yeah. And that's with the belly pan as well. Does that come with the same thing?
No.
Or?
No. So that's all separate.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you buy one of the packs, the rally pack, I think, is the bottom belly pan and all the bars.
Yeah. I think that's what this one's got, isn't it? The rally pack?
The rally pack, yeah.
Yeah.
I think looking at that one, it's got everything.
What about these? Are these the LED auxiliary lights? Are they...
Yeah, they come with this. They're part of the upper bars.
Yeah. And you get a choice of tyre as well, don't you, when you buy it?
I didn't, but I think they use one or the other.
Right.
Two. I got the Dunlop.
Yeah. And I got the Karoo. So I think mine are...
The Metzler?
I was... Yeah. But they're kind of, you know, not even 50-50s, say 70-30s really, aren't they? The tyres. So trying to think whether yours is more off-road than mine, actually, but...
Well, I don't think so. I think they're probably heavily biased for the Rogue, because let's face it, I think an awful lot of ADV road bikes spend most of their time on the road.
Yeah.
I saw the black in the demonstrator, and I thought, that looks really nice. So I ordered a black one. And then I saw a white one in the showroom a week later, and thought, should I have gone for the white one because of the gold rims? And but when I took delivery of it, I was happy. I was happy with it. When I got it home, I thought, no, I'm happy with the black.
I think it's one of them that they both look so good. I mean, when you pulled in just now, I was looking at yours thinking, oh, I think maybe I'll go for a black one.
Yeah.
I think whatever you have, you kind of think, maybe I should have the other one.
Yeah.
Both look good.
Yes.
At the end of the day. Boxes, you going to do any touring on it then? Or is that the idea there?
Yeah, and just handy for work and stuff like that. When I went up to Toaster for the little meetup that I did with a few of the other ones, you know, the Tame and whatnot.
Oh, was it Tame's ride out? Did he have some sort of...
No, I organised a little meetup up at Toaster back in September.
Oh, I do remember that, yes.
They're good. The only problem with them is they're side openers rather than, like, ammo box top loaders.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, you get... do you want me to open one? Have a look.
Yes, please. Yeah, we'll have a look at that. Fact, what I'll do is I'll get the camera and I'll bring it over. Oh, they're lined as well. Oh, got a bag in the bag inside the bag. Yeah,
they're shad, so they're good quality. You know, little bag inside.
Yeah. What about a top box?
I didn't go with a top box. It just looked too big.
Mm-hmm.
It looked too big. It's got the chair bit on the back and a backrest.
Yeah.
And all of that.
Is that aluminium, is it, or is it plastic again?
I don't know, because I haven't seen one.
Ah.
Not in the flesh, anyway. But I think you can get two helmets in there. It's quite a big one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
But at some point, I might get a small one. You can get, like, a half one. Or I might just go with, like, a little tail pack or something, maybe.
Yeah.
Because putting the boxes on all the time can be a bit of a hassle. Not a hassle because they're quick release, but they're in the cupboard at home.
So yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
You want to just go out.
And they take some storing as well, don't they?
They do.
You know, it's like...
They do. But a top box that you leave on, ride and go, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it, yeah. Yeah.
And they're not cheap either. I mean, I want to say the top box and these combines probably 1,700 quid.
Is it really? Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
What about Givi, or do they do top boxes or side boxes?
I believe so, yes. Yeah, obviously now it's been out on the market a little bit. The accessories are starting to come along. SW Motec are starting to do a range of products for them.
Yeah.
Givi. I've got a Givi sat-nav bar coming.
Oh, yes.
So that I can mount that up there and wire it in out the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, I think price point, I think they're on the mark with this.
Oh, for sure.
With,
I think so, yeah.
Compared with some of the others.
Yeah. Is it, they start about 10 grand, is that right?
9.5, I think.
9.5.
9,500.
You get a lot for your money, don't you, for that?
You do. Granted, you've got to put all your bits and pieces on it, like the quick shifter. Doesn't come with it as standard, but then you don't pay for it as standard, if you know what I mean. So it's nice to be able to add the bits and bobs that you do and don't want.
Yeah. I like having the quick shifter there, but I felt it was a necessity on the Hornet, not so much on the Transalp.
Yep.
I don't know if you...
Yep, absolutely.
Still nice to have, though, isn't it?
It's nice to have.
Yeah.
Because you just tend to ride slower,
yeah,
I think.
You do.
Watch the world go by and relax a little bit more.
Yeah.
So I very rarely use it on a downshift because there's no need. But
unless you're lazy like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Up through the gears, it's all right.
But again, the clutch is so light.
It is.
It's just superb, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I would say with the off-road thing, actually, is that even if you put it in gravel mode, I personally found it still a bit lively.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been nice to have it a little bit softer. Because a mate of mine, he's got the 310 GS.
Yeah.
And that's quite soft, and obviously it's a lot less power, which does help. But, yeah, felt a little bit kind of... a bit on-offy again, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Suzuki's quite soft.
Yes. Yeah, they are.
From what I've heard.
Yeah, and that's this bike's main competition, really, is the 800 DE, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, have you had a go on that one?
No.
Yeah.
No. Bit more expensive.
Can't remember what they start at now.
Over 10.
Is it?
I think so.
Yeah, I like the Suzuki. They offer different things. The Suzuki, for me, felt a little bit more off-road biased, and it was soft on the acceleration.
Yeah.
But still had a bit there.
More mid-range, apparently.
Yes, that's yeah.
It's got a bit more punch up top.
These things all about them.
Well, the theory is that if you do have a spill, they save your bars from getting too crunched.
Oh, okay.
Because these are only cheap. Just whip them off and on.
Yeah.
I mean, talking of Derek, he had a little mishap on his.
Did he?
Yeah. He left the disc lock on.
Oh no! That old classic.
That old classic. Somebody got chatting to somebody when he pulled up at, I think it was the A1 CAF, and he'd met somebody up there, and another chap come over and was talking to him about it, and, oh, I like your disc lock, and he showed him, he put it on, forgot his reminder, course, went in, had breakfast, come out, over.
Yeah, yeah.
But it saved the bars. These got chewed up pretty bad, but it saved the bars.
So. Yeah. I think it's worth having bars, certainly on a bike like this, because they actually look the part, don't they?
They look the part.
Whereas on some bikes, they don't. They look cumbersome and a little bit clumpy, don't they?
And they come with the lights. So be safe, be seen.
Yes.
They're bright.
Yes. Yeah. Seat comfort? Because I know on the Hornet, we were both saying that it starts to eat you a bit, doesn't it, on the Hornet?
Oh, much better than the Hornet as far as seat comfort goes.
Yeah.
For me, it's a case of, I don't do lots of high miles. I just haven't had the time.
Yeah.
So the ride up to Toaster, I was getting about 45 minutes and starting to think I might want to stop in the next 20 minutes. I stopped twice on the way up.
Yeah.
But as you get used to it, it's fine.
Yeah.
it's fine. I haven't had any issues since.
No, no.
So, yeah.
I must admit, I've been fine on it, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when I first had it, it, you know, because I've got the Honda Rebel as well, and I've two other bikes, plus my own. that when I went from the Rebel onto this one, it was like, oh, so much better. Yeah, yeah, really. Like, I mean, the Rebel's good, don't get me wrong, because it's nice and wide, but it's funny how you get your backside gets used to one bike, and then you change, and it has to readjust.
It does, yeah. It's not all about how thick the padding is, and what it's, I think it's a number of different factors. And
yeah, the big, I think, the slope on it, really.
Yeah. And whether your saddle fit or not has a huge bearing on it all, I think.
Yeah.
If you're used to doing, you know, 15 minutes to work and back, you start trying to tour the countryside, you soon know about it.
No.
You get used to it, you break it in.
Yeah, it's yeah. Fine. So, I mean, I know I said this before, and you said you never know, probably because this was coming out, but it's going to be going to keep it for a while, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. No reason to get rid, really, is there?
No. No, you know, the only possible thing to change it to would be the Africa Twin, but it's a bigger bike, a bit heavier.
Yeah.
And I'm happy with this.
It's a bit more serious, the Africa Twin. Yeah. You know, it is for... you know, yes, you've got more gizmos on it, but you don't really need a lot of that sometimes, most of the time, do you?
No.
Yeah, it's certainly heavier to ride around. I mean, it's a heck of a machine. We both know that, don't we? Yeah. But this does enough.
Yeah, you know? I think Honda have got... They've obviously designed the TFT with a mind to continual upgrades to it. As I was saying, the voice only turn-by-turn navigation's now been updated, which is done through your app. It's just the app that gets updated.
Yes.
It's now got a visual indicator as to when to turn and the direction, etc.
Yes, I see. And that's live now, is it?
Live now. Yeah. If you haven't opened your Honda Sync, because generally you don't need to, it'll just connect automatically where you go.
Yeah.
But the next time you open it, you'll get a little tutorial that will just say, you know, do you want to enable this new feature? You click enable and that's it.
Job done. Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, just simple as that. That's good. Because, again, the screen's quite, you know, there's quite a lot going on there to look at.
It's quite busy.
Yeah.
It is quite busy.
Kind of all necessary stuff, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, but if you look at it, I mean, fuel and speed are the main ones, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah.
The rest of it, you
and that's about it. Yeah. Gear indicator. Yeah. That's pretty much all I look at. Are you brave enough to take this off-road, then? Is that your type of thing? Do you like doing off-road? Or
I've never done off-road.
Yeah.
I've never done off-road. But never say never.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be...
It's good fun. It adds a new element of riding, for sure. I'm no expert, but I enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
You know. I've got the Himalayan at the moment as well, which I'm hoping to do a bit on that. So, yeah.
They've got a new one of those coming out, haven't they?
Yes, I have. That looks nice, yeah.
Yeah, I see Itchy Boots is riding the pre-production one.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the old one, the one that I've got, you know, I wouldn't buy myself. It's not my type of bike. The engine's great. It's just, I just can't get over that headlight.
What, the round headlight?
Right? Yeah, it's a little bit ugly duckling, you know.
Bit old school, isn't it?
Yeah. My lad came out the other day and he said, oh, what bike is it? And I said, oh, it's a Royal Enfield. He went, oh, yeah. And he went in and he said, oh, it looks like a 1960s bike.
Overall, I'm really happy with it. I really am.
Yeah. And as I said to you off camera, and I didn't say it in the review, but it's honestly, I can honestly say that it's in the top three or top five of the best bikes that I've ever ridden.
Yeah,
you know, I think they got everything right on it. I was saying to you off camera, the only slight issue that I personally have with it is the side stand. When I'm pushing it around, it does tend to easily catch the ground and it'll just flip up without knowing, and then, you know, so
that's a bad day. That is,
it is a bad day. Yeah, and you don't want to drop it, do you, when it looks so nice. Anything that you change about it? To dig deep here, but
it is a big, you know, cruise control was an option.
Yes, that's
a
good one.
As an added feature would have been nice. But again, you start eroding the price point then, don't you?
Yes.
Other than that, I mean, you can say adjustable suspension, but I cannot. I've probably clicked the preload on the bike once. Other than
Yeah, I think it's amazing for the price point.
I don't mess around with suspension.
Yeah.
Where do you draw the line? You know, electronic suspension and dynamic suspension.
Yeah,
but again,
that's $3,000, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I wouldn't, again, you know, with the suspension, I it's something, again, which I think is pretty basic stuff, but they've set it up absolutely spot on.
Yeah.
I personally can't fault it at all. I mean, I'm not one of those people that can ride and really push it to the limits. So, but for doing off-road and on-road, it's spot on.
Yeah.
In both ways, front and back.
Yeah.
You know, for me. When I went off-road on it and was doing some dips and some heavy sort of big sort of deep puddles, things like that, just glided over. Yeah, it's absolutely superb.
Yeah, that's what I really like about it. Again, coming from the Hornet and whatnot, the roads, in general, British roads are pretty poor these days.
Yeah.
And you can just glide over the bumps. And I keep remarking to myself, well, if I'd been on the Hornet, that would have pushed my shoulder blades out.
Yes. Yeah.
Just glide over them now without worrying about it.
Yeah. So you got no regrets then in the upgrades? No. You don't miss the Hornet at all?
No.
No.
Not in comparison.
No. No.
Certainly not.
And I suppose the way to look at it is that, you know, for a lot of people, at the end of the day, it's another $2,500-$3,000, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, above the Hornet. So, I mean, me and you know, riding both, that $3,000, you do actually get a lot more, don't you?
It's money well spent.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Would I have a Hornet? No, probably not. Nothing wrong with it, as you know. But, again, it doesn't do what I want a bike to do. That does.
No. Yeah. And this is the first bike I've had that's had a full, you know, a proper screen on it, one that you sit behind.
Yes.
You know, sports bikes, etc. But they don't. Their fairing sort of comes over here, doesn't it? And you sit up in the air.
Yes. Yeah. Sat on it rather than in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was nice to sit behind a screen and have some nice still air.
Yeah. The only thing I would say, it's noisy.
Yeah.
I find.
Yeah.
I find it noisy, and it's still, you get a bit. Do you find that, or is it because you haven't had one before, maybe you don't?
Yeah, when I test rode it, my first thought was, any videos I do are probably going to sound quite different because of a bit of wind roar, if you like.
Yeah. It's only at 70 that I've noticed this.
Yeah.
70 miles an hour.
You've got to expect a bit of noise at speed, I suppose, unless you want a really big
bubble.
You can get, you know, top-ups, can't you, to put on the top of the screen?
Yeah, yeah, that'll probably solve it, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just needs that little bit more.
But it depends how, you know, the body proportions, where your lid is in the still air versus the dirty air that comes up over the top.
Yes, yeah.
So I suppose it's more rider-specific.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's the only thing I would actually change. If it was mine, I'd probably just, like you say, get a deflector. Just to give it that little bit more.
They do a taller windscreen for it.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
They do a taller windscreen. I suppose that's one thing, is you could have, maybe an adjustable screen would have been a possibility.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have been a nice... But again, you know, all these little things add up, don't they?
They do.
Yeah. But overall, you know, for $9,500 where it starts, what do we get for $9,500? So we wouldn't get these bars or the auxiliary lights or handguards?
Nope. For $9,500, you get the bike, just the bike, nothing else. So, yeah, no handguards, no luggage, no quick shifter, no bars, no stickers.
Yeah. So basically, I don't know how much the bars are, do we? But they're not really a necessity, are they, the bars? But they're nice to have, aren't they?
From what I got on here, excluding the main stand, because that was a separate purchase,
yeah,
I want to say you're probably looking at about $2,500 on top.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe three from memory, somewhere around about there.
Yeah. Is that with the boxes as well?
With the boxes, yeah.
Yeah. But if you take the boxes off...
Well, you save yourself 700 quid, something like that, £1,000. They're quite expensive.
Yeah.
Compared probably with aftermarket options, but...
Yeah.
And you've got the beauty of one key for the ignition and everything.
Yes, yeah. A lot to be said for that, yeah. One key fits all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for me, if the NC, something happened to the NC tomorrow, I think that would be my first bike, I think,
yeah.
I go to. It's a natural progression as well from the 750 NC that I've got. So, yeah, I think it would work pretty well. But, yeah, thanks for coming out once again.
No problem.
I really appreciate it. It's nice to see you again. It's always a bit of a rush with filming, isn't it?
It is.
Getting out there, and it's never time for a coffee, really, is there?
And after last week's COVID...
Oh, yes.
...incident.
Yes. Yeah, and you're over that now, luckily.
Oh, well over that.
Yeah. I haven't had it yet, so I know a lot of people who have. So, yeah, thanks for coming along once again.
No problem.
There you go. That's Nick. It's Ice Diddy on YouTube. How's the YouTube thing going, by the way?
All right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Enjoying it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Still enjoying it. Still doing it.
Yeah.
Pecking away at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Nick. And, yeah, so thanks for watching, guys. And if you've got any questions, put them down in the comments below. I'll put a link to Nick's channel at the end of the video. And thanks for watching. And I'll see you next Sunday at 4 o'clock. Cheers. So there you go, that was Nick from Ice Diddy on YouTube. Thank you ever so much for coming along, Nick, and having a chat with me. If you want to see more of Nick's Trans Out and his adventures on it, pop over to his channel, Ice Diddy on YouTube, and he has plenty of videos on there and also coming up on the Honda Trans Out 750. For me, I have a review coming up, which there will be a link for at the end of this video, and also an off-road video as well. So do stay tuned, and more importantly, if you could like the video, that is a massive help to me. And also, of course, if you don't want to miss those videos on this bike, then subscribe, and I'll see you next Sunday at 4 p.m. Thanks for watching. Bye.